Today, Shir Masechta, Kedushin Daf Lamed Beis. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach on Daf Lamed Aleph Amed Beis, three lines from the bottom. Begins the Gemara Tanur Rabbanan. Ezemara, we know that the Torah says, both Kabed Esavicha Vasimecha, which obligates us with the Chiv of Kibud towards our parents, and the Torah says, Ish Imay V'Avav Tiro, which obligates us with the Chiv of Myra. So says the Gemara, Tanur Rabbanan, in understanding this, Eze Myra Veze Kibud, exactly what's considered Myra and what's considered Kibud. Myra represents Oyamid Bekaimai. If the father has a designated spot where he always stands, so a son may not stand in that spot. V'lo Yoshev Bekaimai, a son may not sit in his father's spot. And he certainly may not contradict him. If there's a machloikus between different individuals, he's not allowed to be the one to make the decision, my father's right or wrong. So Shulchan Aruch says that when the Gemara says that we're not allowed to be machriya, means only not in front of him, but if, as the Taz points out, if it wasn't in front of him, then the halacha is that it's permissible. There are others that disagree and say that a son is not allowed to ever be machriya on, never allowed to be machriya on what his father say. But there are those that say that even though the son is not allowed to be machriya on what make the decision of what his father said, but the halacha does allow him to bring a raya. In other words, if his father said a psak halacha and he wants to back up what his father said, that would be permissible. Kibud, what is the halachic definition of kibud? Says the Gemara, kibud means machal mashka, give him to eat and give him to drink, malbish machasa, clothe him, machna samaitzi, and help him come in and out. Ask the Gemara Boiluhu. So the question was, Shomi. We just learned that a son, a child, has an obligation to take care of the father's needs. But now the question is, from whose funds is that done? Rav Yehuda Omer Mishal Ben. Rav Yehuda's opinion is from the son. Rav Noson Bar Yoshe Omer Mishal Av. Rav Noson Bar Yoshe says, from the father. Oyrele Rabbonin, so Rabbonin paskin to Rabbi Yirmiyah, Vamalei Lebreid Rabbi Yirmiyah, that the halach is, command Omer, that the halach is Mishalav, it should be used from the father's money. So I saw a very interesting question that the Cheshukei Chemed discusses. What will be the halacha according to the opinion that says it's Mishel Av, that you only have to use the father's funds, what would be the halacha if a son received all of his money, has a wealthy father, and his father supported him, he put him into business, he bought him a house? So what would be the halacha then? Since everything he has really comes from his father, would the halacha change if the halacha is that you don't have to use your own funds for kibud of aim? So the Cheshukei Chemed, after going back and forth on this, says at the end of the day, once the father gave him the money, it becomes his money. And even though he would have never had this money without the father, it doesn't make a difference. The halacha says that if you don't have to spend your own money, then it doesn't make a difference. So the Aruch HaShulchan asks a question. He says, in trying to understand this Gemara, we need to understand, if the father, Baruch Hashem, has money, so why would there be a havamina? Why would we think that the son has to use his own money? And if, unfortunately, we're dealing with a situation where the father doesn't have any funds, so isn't there a obligation for a son to give tzedakah, and the first tzedakah is always to relatives, so shouldn't he have to first give to his father if the father doesn't have. Says the Gemara, so the Aruch HaShulchan, this is in Siman Reish Mem, Sif Yud Ches, says that the question here is, let's say the father, Baruch Hashem, has money, but he doesn't want to spend his money. And the question now is, does the son, under those circumstances, have to use his own money? Or could the argument be made that the father, Baruch Hashem, has the means, and therefore the son doesn't have to spend the money? There was an individual that once came to Chaim Brisker to complain that his son lives in Brisk, and he, the father, lived in Warsaw, which is quite a distance away, and he was complaining about his son, that his son never comes to visit him, even though he's not a well person. So Reb Chaim called, asked this person, the son, to come to visit him. So he told Reb Chaim, we learned in our Gemara that the obligation of Kibbutz of Aim is from the father's funds. So I'm not obligated to spend money to go travel all the way to Warsaw. So Reb Chaim said, you're right. You learned the Gemara, and the Gemara says it's Mishal Ben. You only have to use the father's funds. You don't have to use your own funds. But you don't have to go to Warsaw and spend any money. If you don't want to spend any money, walk to Warsaw. You don't have an excuse. Rabbi Kivagin, the Shas Chuvus Rabbi Kivagin, Simon Semeches, discusses a situation where a father left a tzava, he left a will, and he gives instructions what should be done with that money. And the question that Rabbi Kivagin discusses, do the children have to do what the father says? Why? Because once the father passed away, the money becomes theirs. Once the money is theirs, they could do whatever they want. So he brings a raya from a Gemara Masechta Bava Kama, Daf Tzadik Dalet Amud Beis. He said that if the father had lent money to somebody, and he had collected interest for the money that he had lent to somebody, the halacha is that the children have to return that interest. So now asks Rabbi Kivagin, if the chiv kibur of aim is only on the father, if the chiv kibur of aim is only from the father's money, and at this point they already inherited the money from the father, so the returning the interest is not using the father's money, and according to our Gemara, you're not obligated to use your money for the mitzvah of kibur of aim. So Kivagin says that there it's a different situation. He says there the reason you have to return the interest that the father had collected is not because it's the father's money and the father has to use his money to pay back what he had received through interest. Rather, explains to Kivagin, they were concerned about the respect, the honor for the father. And if the father got money through interest, it represents a terrible thing, and therefore returning it is why you have to give it back. The Tzemach David, on the same line, makes a very interesting point. He says that even though, explains the Tzemach David, we're learning in our Gemara that the Chiv of Kibud, the Chiv of showing honor to a father, to a parent, is Mishalav, is from his funds, and not from your own funds, explains the Tzemach David, that the entire discussion that we're having in a Gemara is only regarding kibud. It's only regarding showing honor. But then there's another factor, and that's what he calls zilusa, disrespect. Of course, a son has to be careful to make sure that his parent is not disrespected. And for that, you have to use even your own money to prevent that your father should be disrespected. The Ramban says that even if we're going to say that children have to use their own funds, then for their father's kavod, but certainly he's not obligated to use money, his money or spend money on something that doesn't really bring comfort to the parent. The Rosh disagrees with the Ramban, and he says that anything that a father wishes, anything that a parent wishes, is included in the Chiyuv of Kibud Av V'Aim, even though an argument could be made that the parent doesn't really need it. So the Truma Sadeshin discusses a case regarding a son who wanted to travel, this question comes up, to a distant country because he felt that he could grow in learning Torah in that in a yeshiva far away. His father disagreed. He said that the trip was dangerous. So now the question is the son obligated to do what the father said or not? So the Truma Sadeshin says that the son doesn't have to obey his father in this case because the mitzvah of Talmud Torah takes precedence over the mitzvah kibbutz of Ein. In fact, he brings a raya from the Gemara in Masechet Megillah Daf Tes Zayin Amud Beis, where the Gemara says that Yaakov Avinu wasn't punished for neglecting kibbutz of Ein the 14 years that he was studying Torah in the yeshiva of Shem Ve'Ever, because studying Torah supersedes kibbutz of Ein. The Marik, along the same line, has a discussion: what is the halacha if somebody wants to marry a woman whose parents don't approve? So he says that the Gemara here says that kibud mishal av. So just like a son, according to our Gemara, is not obligated to use his own funds to honor his parents, so too he's not obligated to use up his own desire whom he wants to marry because of the mitzvah kibud av aim. The Marik also said that marrying a person whom you want to marry is a special mitzvah. Because if this is the person whom you want to marry, it's more likely that there's going to be shalom bayis with the woman that you want to marry. And therefore, it's included in the mitzvah of getting married. Another point that he makes is he goes back to the Ramban that we mentioned a moment ago, where the Ramban's opinion is that where it's a situation where it doesn't bring parents comfort, there's no chiyuv of kibbutz av aim. So he wants to suggest that this is not a case of bringing comfort to a parent, because the woman who I marry is the woman who I marry. It's not related to the parent's comfort or not. Meisvei asked the Gemara, the Braisa says, Kabras avich v'asimecha. The Nemar and the Pasuk also says, Kabras Hashem mahaynecha. Ma'ala halan. Just like when the Torah says we have to show respect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the vows, b'chsar and kiss. Because that's what the Pasuk says, mahaynecha. Mahaynecha means from your money. Afkan, shouldn't this be a proof that by kibbutz av aim, it should involve chisar and kiss? So he Amrit asked the Gemara, if we're going to say that you kibbutz av aim is mishalav, my nafkal minay, what is meant when the Torah connects these two halachas? And says the Gemara, that's not necessarily a question. Levita malacha, a son is obligated to give up from his work time for kibbutz av aim, but that doesn't mean that he has to give up from his funds for the mitzvah kibbutz av aim. So the Mashah asks that this pasuk of Kabbutz Hashem Mahaynecha is a pasuk in Nach and Mishlei, and we normally don't learn halachas for Chiyuv Daraisa from Mishlei, from Nach. So he answers that this is not to be considered a regular limud. He says that this should be considered a Gilui Milsa. So the Rishonim ask, what's going to be the halacha if a father doesn't have any funds? Will the son, under those circumstances, certainly have to use his own sons to take care of the father? Some Rishonim say that even in a case where the father doesn't have his own funds, there's no chiv of kibbutz av aim. There are others that say that there is an obligation. There's a machloikis how to look at that obligation. do we look at that obligation as a stock obligation, or do we look at it as a kibbutz of an obligation? And of course, the nafka mina would be, can one use maisa money to fulfill that obligation? Toshma. So the Gemara says, shnei achim, shnei shutfim. Well, you have two brothers or two partners. Have a benoy, a father and a son. Harava talmidoy, a rebbe and his talmud. Poidim zel ze maisa sheni. Machilim zel ze maisa oni. The halacha is that we know that in the first and the sixth, second, and the fourth and the fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, Maisa Sheni is taken. The halacha is that if somebody redeems his own Maisa Sheni money, that means his own Maisa Sheni, he doesn't want to, or it's difficult to bring up all of the Maisa Sheni to Yerushalayim, so what he does is he can redeem it. But the halacha, the Torah, differentiates in the redemption of Maisa Sheni, whether you're using your own, money, or whether you're using, whether you're redeeming your own Maisa Sheni or you're redeeming somebody else's Maisa Sheni. If you're redeeming your own Maisa Sheni, you have to add a fifth. If you're redeeming somebody else's Maisa Sheni, you need not add a fifth. So the halacha is, how do we look at a son who's redeeming his father's Maisa Sheni? Is it considered as if it's his own or not? So the Gemara says it's not considered your own and you don't have to add a fifth. Moreover, the Gemara says, the Gemara is teaching us that when it comes to Maisa Oni, that you have to give Maisa Oni in the third and the sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, a son can give the father Maisa Oni from his Maisa Oni. But ask the Gemara, the Amrit, if we're going to say that Mishal Ben, that the son uses, that the son has the obligation to support his father. The halacha is that one is not allowed to use maisa money for anything that he's obligated to do. So if here he's going to support his parents off the maisa oni money, he's obligated to pay for his parents' support. So he's using that in that improper fashion. Says the Gemara, what the Bryce is referring to a situation where you have to support, perhaps a son does have to use his funds to support his parents. But that only is what is basically needed. If your father wants extra, that certainly the son doesn't have to use his own money. And for that, he could use Maisroni. Yehachi, if that's the case, that we're giving what the Bryce is speaking about is that the son is using his Maisa Oni funds. Lahadofa asked the Gemara, Hana the Tani law, let's continue learning that Bryce. Amr Yehuda Tavim Eira Lamisha Machlas of Maisa Oni. A son who uses his Maisa Oni to support his father should be cursed. But makes the Gemara the point, Vila Hadofa, if he's only using it for Hadofa, my Nafkaminei, what did he do wrong? Answers the Gemara, technically he didn't do anything wrong. Afil hocha, still, zila b'milsa, it's inappropriate that you should use your stock of money to support your parents. Tashma. Shalas Rebbe Lezer. They asked Rebbe Lezer, hechid kibra av aim, how far does kibra av aim go? Omelhem, so he responded, achiyitel arneki, that the father should take a wallet, the yizrkena liyam b'fonav. He should take his wallet and throw it into the river. Veinim achlimai, and the son doesn't react. Yamrit Mishalav, if we're saying that the obligation is only from the father's funds, ask the Gemara, my nafkaleminei, so what's the nafkamina? Why should they embarrass him? They're not using from that money. It's not their money anyway. Answers the Gemara, it's talking about royal Yorsha. It's talking about a situation where the son is the potential Yorish. So now the father, by throwing this money away, is depriving the son of money that he would ultimately inherit. And therefore, the Gemara, that is why still he would have a loss, but he's not allowed to say anything. But it could well be that it's talking about that the father's funds, not the son's funds. Of course, Tosfos and the Rishonim point out If you have a father that's throwing a wallet full of money into the yam, so why would you have to respect him altogether? He's oivabal tashkis. So therefore, Taisha says we have to explain that the Gemara here is speaking about a case where the father had a good reason for doing it. The Taisus Rosh explains that the situation here is that the father already did it. And since the father already did it, there's no point in offending him because you can't get it back anyway. Our Gemara introduced a new concept. The concept the Gemara introduced was the concept of B'noi Shiroi L'Yarshoi. We're talking about a son who is potential a Yairish of the father. So I saw that the Sefer Cheshukei Chemed says that there was a situation where a wealthy man gave Rav Shach a very large sum of money for tzedakah. And Rav Shach called this man's son and asked him for permission. So the question is, why did he have to call the son? So the Rav Shach said, our Gemara says that a son who's royally Yarshai, a son who is supposed to inherit the father, has some claim to the mother, to the money. And since he has some claim to the money, that's why Rav Shach felt that the son's opinion should be taken into consideration. In fact, he explains that the Ramah, in Chayshim Mishpat Simen Reish Pei Beis, Seif Aleph says, Mishat Tziva Lasis B'Nachos V'Toiv. A father left direction that that his assets that he's leaving over, you should do the best you can with that. Lasis B'Nachos V'Toiv She'ef Shalasis. Use the assets for the best possible purpose, says the Shulchan Aruch, Yitneu L'Yorshov Kein Toimezeh. The best thing is to give it to the people who are supposed to inherit him. And I think the pshat is because that's what the Torah wants. And whatever the Torah wants is the best thing. That's why the Rav Shach would ask the sons if they're agreeable. V'kiha, says the Gemara, an incident. This incident happened with Rabbi Rav Huna. Rav Huna Karish Rai. Rav Huna ripped an expensive silk garment. Ba'ampe Rabbi Berei. In front of his son, Rabba. Amar, for he said, Ezel, Echsi, Irosach, Alay Rosach. I want to see if he's going to get upset. So we see that what was the whole purpose of this exercise? Because this was a garment that the son was supposed to inherit. And since it was a garment that the son was supposed to inherit, so that's why Rav Huna said, I want to see how my son will react. But says the Gemara, maybe he'll get upset. And if he'll get upset, he'll violate the mitzvah kibbut of aim. And the father, by having done this, the kava alif na'ivil, I see te michshol. Says the Gemara, the Rav, the machlekari. Rav Huna was michlis covered, and we're going to learn that the father can be michlis covered. But ask the Gemara, but how was Rav Huna allowed to rip this garment? For kava mishabal tashkis. By ripping the garment, he's over about tashchus. Answers the Gemara, Davalei b'pupanayu. He ripped it by the seam. And since he ripped it by the seam, that's easily repaired. Says the Gemara, v'dum m'shamachi le'rosach. So therefore ask the Gemara, why would that therefore be a good test? If he was ripping it by the seam, so that's the son's going to see, it's not a big deal. Answers the Gemara, Davalei b'shas rizchei. He did it when Rabbi, his son, was upset. So normally, a person who's not upset will not get upset because somebody ripped a garment by the seam. But when you're upset anyway, so then it's a whole different situation. So we see that this concept of doing something with assets that will become the sons is something that the Gemara takes into consideration. So many Mepharshim asked the question. Yes, the Gemara says, there was no concern of Lifnei Ivel Esitei Michshol here because of regarding Kibbut Av Ve'Eim, because the father was Meichel on his covered. But what about if he'll get angry without violating Lifnei Evel Aseita Mechshol. So why is that not considered that he violated Lifnei, that he was violating Lifnei Evel? So he says, the Chidah says that from here we see, so his approach is that he knew his son, and he knew his son is not a person that gets angry, and therefore it's not considered Lifnei Evel. Others say that, on the contrary, that under these circumstances, you are allowed to get upset. And since if you see something valuable getting ripped and you get upset, that is not considered a violation of an Aveira. But then, there are many Mefarshim who quote Reb Yisrael Salanta. Reb Yisrael Salanta said that by Midas, causing a person to get upset is not a violation of Lifnei Evel. And therefore, there was no problem with Lifnei Evel. The Chikri Leiv points out that the Gemara is concerned for Baal Tachshas. But he asks, why is this considered Baal Tachshas? If what the father was doing was in order to test the son, so then there's a purpose. And whenever there's a purpose, why is it considered Baal Tachshas? So he says that yes, when you do something for a constructive purpose, then the halacha is that there is no concern about tashchis. But who said this had to be done? So here we learned the concept of Lifnei Evel. And the concept of Lifnei Evel is a very important concept. And of course, it's something that almost applies to every mitzvah and every aveira in the Torah. And Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein in the Cheshuke Chemed brings a number of examples where the question of Lifnei Evel came up. One question that he discusses is that there's a frum Jew, a religious Jew, that owns a pizza shop. And he gets a call that somebody is ordering 31 pizza pies, that he wants pizza with meat on top of the pizza. He right away understands that the person who's calling obviously got confused and called his pizza shop instead of calling the non-kosher pizza shop where such product is available. But he knows that the person who's calling is Jewish, and obviously he's not allowed to have non-kosher cheese and non-kosher meat and bas b'chalav. So what should he do? One should he just tell him you're calling the wrong place, or should he send him pizza? But obviously he can't send him regular pizza because that's not what's ordered. So he could go and order part of a meat and put it on top of the pizza, and this person will get that pizza. And the question is, will that and like that, he will have saved that person, obviously in his family, his guest, from eating something which is non-kosher. So there's a number of questions that he points out come up in this situation. One question that comes up in this situation is that the person who's eating is anyway thinking that he's eating something non-kosher. I may know it's not that it's kosher, but he doesn't know. Moreover, he says, the real meat is more expensive than parve meat. So isn't this cheating him by charging him for that kind of pizza? And the people who will see him eating that pizza don't know that that pizza is really, that meat is really parav. So why is there no problem, Maris Ayin? So he says, as far as the problem of Aino, he should talk and not charge him as if it was real pizza, a real meat. He should charge him the price, that parav meat. But he says, as far as all the other questions, we have an obligation to try to help a person from avoiding doing an Aveira. And included in that obligation is helping him not eat non-kosher, even think, though he thinks he's eating not kosher. He also discusses another question, where there's a person who's trying to become more observant, but he isn't quite there yet. And he is controlling himself from doing malach on Shabbos. The one thing that he can't control himself from, unfortunately, is smoking cigarettes on Shabbos. But what he does is he has a fire prepared from before Shabbos, so it shouldn't involve creating a new fire on Shabbos, and he lights his cigarette that he smokes on Shabbos from that existing fire. And he comes to me in Erev Shabbos, and he says that what does he normally do? He has like a yahrzeit candle that he lights for the whole Shabbos. Like that, he has fire for the whole Shabbos. Am I allowed to? He doesn't have one. Could he please borrow one? And he says it, that he's borrowing it so he'll be able to smoke on Shabbos. By me lending him the cigarette, the yahrzeit candle, I'm enabling him to do the aver of smoking. Would that be considered lifnei iver? So again, after a long discussion, the lifnei iver here is not being done at the time of the avera. I'm lending him this yahrzeit candle on Erev Shabbos. Moreover, this person can't control himself from smoking. And if he won't have a fire prepared from before Shabbos, what he's going to do is he's going to light a fire on Shabbos. And therefore, it's the right thing to do, at least by me doing it. I'm not helping him do the Avera as he's doing the Avera, and I'm helping diminish the amount of an Avera he's going to do, and therefore it's the right thing to do. And then one more interesting discussion he has. There's someone who has a business and he's looking for an employee. And one of the important qualities that he's looking for in this employee is that the person should be patient. So what he does is he has a number of people coming for the interview for the position. And he makes them sit in the waiting room for the interview for a couple of hours. And he has a closed circuit TV, and he sees how are the people who are waiting there so long reacting. And he said that from all the people waiting there, there was only one individual who remained calm. And everyone else started getting agitated because they were sitting waiting so long. So he says, that's the person I want. He remained calm even under these circumstances. And he then comes out from his office and he tells all the people sitting there, this person who remained calm is the person who's getting the job. All the rest of you are not getting the job because I saw you got agitated, and I'm specifically looking for a person who has this patient, who's a patient individual. So the question here is, which is a question that we mentioned earlier, is this considered lifnei iver? He made them get angry. So again, we have the vart that we said before from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, that when it comes to midos, to the way you're supposed to behave, there's no lifnei iver l'sitei michshol. And therefore, it was allowed to be done. Of course, there's a very big discussion, how far does that go? What do I mean to say? He discusses there a situation where there's somebody who made a sima shas. And there's a bacher, there's a student in the yeshiva that Baruch Hashem finished shas. And because he finished shas, the yeshiva wants to make a big celebration honoring him for finishing shas. But there's a concern that they'll make this big celebration and everybody's going to participate. And that could chas v'shalom cause that this boy who will be the center of attention will become a bal gaiva. So is that considered lifnei iver by doing so? So certainly if we take the simple explanation of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says there is no lifnei iver when we're speaking about midos, so certainly there is no problem. But even if we don't take that opinion of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, we have to, he says, weigh every situation. And since we have to weigh every situation, if by showing this boy honor, it will encourage him to learn more, if by showing this boy honor, it will encourage other boys to want to learn, that those considerations are also part of the consideration of what should or should not be done under these circumstances. Says the Gemara, Maskelei Rav Chesk Lurami Beroi. Gemara brings a different braisa from which we can learn Hilchos Kibud Av V'Em and the Srofim ben Niskalim. There was a mix-up of people who are Chayiv Misa. Some people are Chayiv Misa Srefa, and some people are Chayiv Misa Skila. And we don't know who is who. If Shimon Omer, Yudunu B'Skila. He says they should all get Skila, Srefa Chamur, because he considers Srefa a more significant, a more severe way of killing someone. And since it's more severe, so the person who doesn't deserve the more severe punishment should not get it. Amalei Rabbi Huda Berei. So Rabbi Huda's son said to Rabbi Cheskel, Abba loy tisnechachi. Don't learn that the people who are chayiv skrefa got mixed up with the people who are chayiv skila, which would mean that there are more people that are chayiv skila. Because if that's the case, my ear is srefa chamura. Then why are you saying that they get skila? Because srefa is a more severe punishment. And why should we give them the more severe punishment? Typically, we should say a simpler pshat. The Reuben is going to know. We follow the Reuv. Ella. So Rabbi Cheskel asked his son, Heichi Asni, so how should I learn? He said what happened here was, Hanaskolim ben Nisrofim. So the Reuv are Nisrofim. So under normal circumstances, we would follow the Reuv. But over here, we're not following the Reuv, because the people who don't deserve Sreifa should not get Sreifa. Amalei. So Rabbi Cheskel said to his son, Rabbi Yehuda, Yochi, let's continue learning that braisa. Ema Sefer. The Chaimim Yudonim B'Sreifa, we say they should get Sreifa because Skila Charuma. Ask the Gemara, my area, the Skila Chamura, why are you saying the reason is because Skila is the more serious Einish? And that's why we give the less severe punishment that we don't know which one to give. Typically, we have a simpler explanation. The Reuben is Rafinanu. Most of the people here are Chayiv Sreifa. Amalei, Hasam Hu, the Rabbanan, the Kamalei of Shimon. The Rabbanan are addressing Rav Shimon. The Ka'amrit, and they said to him, Sreifa Chamura, that you said that Sreifa is the most serious punishment. That isn't true. Skila Chamura. Skila is the most serious punishment. Amalei, Shmuel Rav Yehuda. So Shmuel said to Rav Yehuda, Shinana. He called him Shinana for one of two reasons. We have all throughout Shas. One reason is because he had sharp teeth. Another reason is because he was a sharp individual. Loi temel avuchachi. Don't speak to your father that way. When you spoke to your father, you said loi tisnechachi. You're not learning correctly. The Tanya, as the Braisa teaches us, Hareisha yaviv oivel divrei Torah. Even if a father is violating divrei Torah, al yoy meloi, a son has no right to say to the father, Abba avarta divrei Torah, father, you violated divrei Torah. Al yoy meloi, you should just say to him, kach kos b'Torah. Just say to him, this is what it says in the Torah, and he'll figure out what he's supposed to do or what he's not supposed to do. But you're not allowed to be that explicit. Says the Gemara, kach kos b'Torah, but by saying that, tzurit kametzarele, you're also causing him to feel bad. Says the Gemara, l'oimele, what you should say is, abra, mikku kos b'Torah kach, say it even less sharp. Alozo ben Asya oimer, abba oimer shkine mayim, says the Gemara, if a father tells you to give him some water to drink, mitzvah lasas, and he has a mitzvah to do, menich ani kvayu abba, you shouldn't do what your father asks, voices mitzvah, but you have to do the mitzvah. Why? Shaniva abba chayovim b'mitzvah. You and your father are obligated to do the mitzvah. Yisav Yehudaimer, im efsha lasas mitzvahs aldei acherim, but if there's somebody else who could do that mitzvah, so then that loch is ta'as aldei acherim, let somebody else do the mitzvah, v'yelechu b'kvayr aviv, and you should do kvayr aviv. And says the Gemara, Omrav Masna, halach Yisav ben Yehuda, the loch is like Yisav ben Yehuda. The halacha is like Isi B'Yehuda. So Rabbi Chanan asks that since the father, why would we think that you should not do the mitzvah? So he says that the Gemara is referring to Why? In other words, he's saying, if a father did an Aveira, the mitzvah is, and he did an Aveira that he, that gets Malkus, why should a son not be the one to give him Malkus if he's Chayiv Malkus? So Rabbi Chanan says, our Gemara really answered it. It doesn't have to be the son giving the Malkus. Somebody else could give the Malkus. And therefore, you have no right to give the Malkus. And then he says another teretz. He says that even though if you have a mitzvah to do, it supersedes the obligation to your father, says Rabbi Chanan, that only means that you don't have to show honor to your father. But it doesn't mean that for a mitzvah to be accomplished, you're allowed to disgrace your father. And of course, hitting a father is usur, even if it involves doing a mitzvah. If a father forgives his kavod, it's fine. But if a Rebbe cannot. Rabbi Yosef says, afilo Rav Shemachal Kvoidoi, even a Rebbe who gives up his kavod, kvoid machal. Where do we see that from? Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Vashem Hailech Lefneim. There's no greater example of somebody that required of a Rebbe than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even though there's no better example, somebody that's required kavod than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, still the Gemara says that still the halacha is that we should be, that we, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave up from his honest. There's a machloikis how far this goes when we say ha'av shemachal kvoide kvoide machal. Some say a father has a right to completely give up his kavod. Others say it only means that you don't have to actively show him respect, but you're not allowed to show him disrespect. The question that comes up is, let's say there's a son who's a physician, he's a doctor, he's a dentist. And the question is such a son allowed to treat a parent, even if the parent says, I want my son to want to treat me? Is that included in Av Shemachal Kvoidai? Because when he treats his parent, so possible that there's going to be blood come out, etc. And under those circumstances, that's not just not showing respect. And the question is, how far can we be lenient? Amar Rava Hachashtam, how can we bring a raya to Rav Shemachal Kvoidai from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Hasam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Alma Delehu, the whole world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Torah Delehu, and the Torah belongs to him. And therefore, Machal Eliyakri, he has the ability to be Machal on his covered. Hacha, by a Talmud Chacham, Torah Delehu, does the Torah belong to him? The Torah belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So since the Torah belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have no right to give up that honor. Hadam Rava, but then Rava said, actually, a Talmud Chacham's Torah Delehu belongs to the Talmud Chacham. The Ksiv, as the Pasuk says at the beginning of Tehillim, ubetayrosai yega yoimam velayla. So it becomes terosai. Eini, says the Gemara, again discussing the question of Rav Shemachal Kvoidai, says the Gemara, Rava mashkebe hilul debrei. Rava was the one that served the wine at his son's wedding. Vedale kasa, Rapapa, Rav Huna Brei Yeshua. He gave a cup of wine to Rapapa, Rav Huna Brei Yeshua, the Kama Mekamei. And they got up in honor of him. He served them wine for like Kama Mekamei, and they didn't get up. Ikvid, so Rav got upset. The first group are real Chachamim, real Talmid Chachamim, and you who didn't get up are not considered real Talmid Chachamim. So we see from here that obviously he was an individual who wasn't so concerned about his kavod. How do we know that he was an individual who wasn't so concerned about his kavod? Because he's serving wine. But he still felt that the Talmidim who didn't get up were doing the wrong thing. And says the Gemara Su, Rapapa have a mashka, Behelul da'ab ma'abere, Rapapa was serving wine at Abba Mabre, his son's wedding, and he served wine to Rav Yitzchak, Vic, but he got upset. So don't we see that the Rebbe cannot be Michael on the Kavod? Says the Gemara, even if a Rav is Michael on the Kavod, still, it's appropriate that they should show some respect. And therefore, since they didn't show any respect, that's why he was upset. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Ashi, even according to the opinion that says, a Rav Shemachal Kvoidai, Kvoidai Machal, Nasi Shemachal Kvoidai, if a Nasi gives up in his Kavod, Ein Kvoidai Machal. So I saw that the Chasam Sofer explains, as we say Avinu Malkeinu, Chatanu Lefanecha. What we're saying to him is, we're saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that if it was just Avinu, so even if though we didn't Aveira, but you're our father, and a father is Michael on his covet. But you're also Malkeinu, you're also our God. And since you're our God, therefore we have our king, the Melech Shemachal Kvoidoi, and Kvoidoi Machal, and therefore we have to be very careful. I saw that the Klausenberger Rebbe explained in the drasha one year by the first night of Slichus, why do we always start Slichus on a Sunday? So he quotes the Bnei Yisrael, the Bnei Yisachar, who says that Shabbos is a proof that we are Banim L'makom, that we are Kadosh Baruch Hu's children. So he explained why. Because we know, the Pasuk says in Parashas Bereishis, so we see that Shabbos, it belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why he says, Goy Sheshavas Chai Misa, because an Akum has no right to use the Shabbita Shemelech. Why are we allowed to Kaviyachal use the Shabbita Shemelech? Because we are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children. So that's why on Sunday, when Shabbos just ended, or Matzah Shabbos, when Shabbos just ended, and the question, and we were Shomer Shabbos, and the reason we were Shomer Shabbos, and the reason we're allowed to be Shomer Shabbos, because we're Kadosh Baruch Hu's children, and a father, we're learning, Ha'av Shemachal Kvoidai, Kvoidai Machal. So we're saying that Kadosh Baruch Hu, even if Chas V'Shalom, we did not necessarily behave properly this year, but Melech, Av, you're our father, and Av Shemachal Kvoidai, Kvoidai Machal. Meisei asked the Gemara, Meisei Rav Lezer Yeshua Rav Tzadik, Shein Subim Beis Mishtah. They were sitting by Beis Mishtah, by the wedding of Benoi Shev Gamliel. Rav Gamliel, Oymen and Mashkelein, Rav Gamliel was serving everybody wine. Nosen Kaisle Rav Lezer, Rav Gamliel served Rav Lezer V'loi Notloi. He refused to take it, because Rav Gamliel was the Nasi, and he didn't want to be served by the Nasi. Nasna Rabbi Yeshua, but he gave it to Yeshua Kibloi. Amalei Rabbi Lezer. So Rabbi Lezer says to Rabbi Yeshua, Maza Yeshua, how could you do this? Shana Yoshvim, that we should be sitting here at this wedding for Rabbi Gamliel Barebi, Gamliel the great leader, Nasi Klai Yisrael, Oymer Amashkoleim. Amalei, so Rabbi Yeshua responded, Metzinu Shagol Mimena, we find somebody that was even greater than Gamliel, Shashimesh, that served other people. Avram Avinu was the Gol Hador. And it says, the Kosaboy, and the Torah teaches us that how Avram Avinu served the Malachi, V'oimer Aleim, V'shem Torah Malachi, Sharis Nimbalu. Maybe you'll suggest that he knew that they were Malachim. Says the Gemara, Lo Nidma El Arbayim. They looked like Arabs. Anu, says the Gemara, Lo Gamliel V'Rebi, Oimer Amashkaleinu, shouldn't he be allowed to serve us? Amar Tzavin, says Rav Tzadik, another source. At Masa Atam Nichon Kvod Shemakim, why are you ignoring Kvod Shemayim Vatam Oiskim Kvod Abrius? And you're busy how to respect people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look at what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does on our behalf. Mash of Ruach or Mal and Asim, he brings the wind and he brings the clouds. Mayrid Matar, he brings rain. Matzmich Adam, he causes the earth to grow. Varuch Shuchaf Nekolach Vecha, we all have what he eat from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, Anu Lai Hey Rabbi Gamliel, but Rabbi Oymer Mashkelenu. So, shouldn't Rabbi Gamliel be allowed to serve us? Eliyat Machitna, Amr Vashe, Philoman the Amr, Nasi Shemachal Kvoid the Machal, and that's why Rabbi Gamliel was allowed to do this. Melech shemachal kvoidoi ein kavoid machal. The melech, we can't give up on his kavod. Shenemar soim tasm alecha melech shetayem os alecha. There's a special rule than the melech. And I saw that Reb Chaim Brisker says that there's a fundamental difference between a melech and everyone else. He says a melech kavod doesn't originate from himself. The melech's kavod originates from Klal Yisrael. So somebody whose kavod is owed to him for he himself. You owe kavod to a Rebbe because he's your Rebbe, because he's a Talmud Chacham. You owe kavod to a parent because he's your parent, and you owe kavod to a parent. So there, they are the ones that, so to speak, own that kavod. Since they're the ones that own that kavod, they have a right to be meichel on that kavod. But a melech doesn't own his kavod. The kavod that a melech has is that because he is the melech of Klal Yisrael. So since he doesn't own that kavod, he can't give up on that kavod. Tanabanam neisev etakim. The Torah says neisev etakim. I would think, I feel of neizak and hashmoy, even in front of an older person who's a rasha. Tamalaima, the pasuk says v'dat neizakin. Ve'inzakin el chacham. Shnema, as Moshe Rabbeinu says, Isfili shivim ish v'zikna Yisrael. V'yaisa glili aymer, Ein zakin el mishakach chachma, as the post says, Hashem kanani reishis tachim. Yochel yamud mifhanav makam rochik, that you should stand up even when he's far away. Tam aloymer, tokim v'adarti. Le'mayati el abba makam sheish hidur, where it's noticeable. What does it mean that it's noticeable? That he's standing right in front of you. Yochel yadrena b'momen. Maybe what honor means that you should give him money. Tamalayim v'tokim v'adarta. Ma kima, to get up, ein b'chson kis, doesn't cost anything. Af hidur, the hidur that the Torah requires is ein b'chson kis, just getting up. Yochel yamim v'ponim v'beis akisim v'beis amerchatz. Even when you're in the bathroom or in the bathhouse, tamalayim v'tokim v'adarta. Ma kima el b'mokim sheish hidur. Only in a place of honor, not in a place like a bathroom. Yochum yatzel enov, that one could close his eyes, kimish leiro, as if you don't see him, and avoid getting up. Tamaloymer, tokum vedata penes v'yresim l'kecha. Dava amosel aleiv, you know the truth, nevav v'yresim l'kecha, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu knows if you really saw him or not. Shimon alozaloymer, menayin lezokin shalai yitriach, that a zokin should not take advantage. Tamaloymer, zokin v'yresim l'kecha. That the Zakan also should have that Yira and not abuse his place. Isvan Yudaimer, Bnei Seven Takan, Afilu Kol Sevim Mashma. Any elderly individual, whether he's a Tzaddik or Rasha. Rabbi Yosef Glili, but says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef Glili says that Zakan's Elamish Kana Chachma, isn't that the same as the Tanakama? And says the Gemara, Ikamanai Yonak Vachachim. You'll have a young person who's a Tamat Chachim. Tana Kama Savar Yonak Vachachim Loi. He says, according to Tanakama, you have to have two conditions to have to get up. An elderly Talmud Chacham. And Yosef Glili Savar, as long as the person of the Talmud Chacham, you have to get up. My Talmud Yosef Glili. Why does Yosef Glili say this? Says the Gemara. Amalak, because Yosef Glili explains. Isak adatuk the Talmud Tanakama, that you only have to get up when the person is a Zokin and a Chacham, in Kei Nichter Echmana, Nei Seva Tokum Vahadarta. Let the word seva be next to zakin. Maishna do pagina rachmana. Why did the Torah separate? Nei seva tokim v'adata p'nei zakin. The Torah is teaching us, l'meimer, the high lav, high v'lav, high, that the pasuk is talking about two different people. The Torah is speaking about a zakin, and the Torah is speaking about a chacham. And therefore, says Rabbi Yosef Glili, that even if the person is young, but he's a Talmud Chacham, you have to get up for him. The Tanakama, how does the Tanakama explain himself? Why does the Pasuk state it the way it does, if that's not the Halacha? Says the Gemara, because Mishun Debayla Mismach, he wants to have the word Zakin next to the word V'yareisa, for what we learned a moment ago, that the Zakin should not take advantage of people giving him covet. Tanakama, my Tama, why doesn't he agree with Rabbi Yosef Glili? Says the Gemara, the Tanakhama says, if Rabbi Yosef Glili is right, that a zaken is only a chacham. In kei nichtav rachmana v'mnei seva takim v'data tarka v'data v'nei zaken. Then we would have learned that we have to get up for a zaken and we have to get up for a tamad chacham. V'med like sivhachi, since the Torah did not express itself that way, shmamina chadhu, that the Torah is speaking about one individual who's both a zaken and a talmud chacham, and according to Tanakama, only for he must we get up.